You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jonathan Wasserstrom.
How do we make sure there's a consistency of kind of experience, a consistency of messaging, a consistency of feeling throughout that feels very smooth and natural?
Squarefoot founder and CEO Jonathan Wasserstrom has worked for over a decade in commercial real estate. Squarefoot is a new kind of commercial real estate company that helps companies win at finding their next and next office, providing transparent access to inventory, brokerage services, and a flexible space offering. Squarefoot brings together technological innovation and human expertise to solve clients' needs. Jonathan, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks so much for having me today, Nick.
Well, I love the diversity of guests that we get, because we sometimes we get a lot of agency types, a lot of folks that are authors with their latest greatest book. But when we get an actual brand builder, and that even comes in many different forms, sometimes it is kind of the marketing head of an entity. But when it is the founder as the brand builder, I think that is really special. So welcome, and congrats on being one of my favorite kinds of guests.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us a bit about what I think is fascinating, and a little bit about why I think that this is one of my favorite types of guests, is because I like a good story. And I usually find that when someone has founded a business like this, that has jumped in and created a solution for a yet to be addressed or yet to be addressed this way type of need, that there's usually an interesting story on that journey there. So what is your journey that led you to founding Squarefoot?
Yeah, hopefully it's interesting. So I'm from Texas originally, and I went to college in Atlanta at Emory. After school, I was living in D.C. Most of the time doing commercial real estate at Jones Lang LaSalle, which is one of the big commercial real estate services firms. Moved to New York for business school at Columbia, I guess about a decade ago now. So I guess I'm stuck, happily stuck. And shortly after I was starting school, I got a call from somebody who I knew who was looking for space for his last company. And he had gone online to do that, assumed that he could find office space online the same way he found an apartment online, the same way he did everything else in his life online. But sure enough, you can't do that. So after a couple of those conversations, we saw there's a whole bunch of pain points that growing companies have as it relates to finding, transacting, and occupying their real estate. So we set out to build Squarefoot to try and fix all of those. Kind of fast forward 8 or 9 years later, we have the listings platform that brings access to the market the way Zillow does for residential. We have an in-house brokerage team because we recognize that in addition to access to inventory, when you're looking for space, you also need help with that transaction. And finally, we have a flexible space business, which is really two separate lines, one called Pivot Desk, which you can think of like Airbnb for office space, where if you have excess space that you're looking to monetize for a shorter term, you can put that on Pivot Desk. And we also launched a couple months ago something called Flex by Squarefoot, where we can solve length of lease flexibility issues for our clients. And all that's really brought together by tech and data that makes ourselves and our clients a whole hell of a lot smarter.
Well, I can see that because, it's just especially the last part that you were mentioning about offerings like Pivot Desk. The way we work is so different. I mean, I think, you know, I'm sure there's stats out there of who is still going to the same office every day from you know, 9 to 5. And I'm sure it's still many, but I'm sure that demographic is changing as you've got some people that are in a home office some of the days, that are in City A the next day, City B, and moving around. And plus those needs often, you know, as we look at the gig economy and we've got businesses that are scaling up and scaling down, that flexible spacing is a real need.
Yeah, we've seen, you know, it's fun. Like I mentioned, we have kind of all this tech and data that underpins everything we do here. And it's through all that that we get a whole bunch of information, both quantitatively and qualitatively, through our platform, as well as through our interaction with clients on the broker side. And we just kept hearing, hey, I want more lease flexibility. I want more lease flexibility. So, you know, when we hear our clients complain enough, not about our service, obviously, but about, you know, a fact of the market, we set out to try and fix that. So, you know, that led us to acquiring PivotDesk and launching Flex. Because to your point, right, the nature of work is changing. You know, I am still very bullish on the office as an environment, but how the office gets used, who it gets used by, the amount of space that gets used is surely going to be changing over time. You know, I have very mixed thoughts about, you know, remote work and flexible work situations. I think there's some huge, huge benefits to it and also some costs associated with it. But I think you'll start having more and more companies who have some sort of remote or flexible work policy, still wanting most of the people to be in the office most of the day. But by the way, just having those, that little clause or that little adjective most and most completely changes how you might design an office, how much space you need, by the way, because if on any given day only 80% of the people are going to be there, well, maybe you can get 80% as much office space, which now is a pretty big cost saver to you as a company. And we're still not just square foot, but we as a commercial real estate industry are still in the earliest of innings. Offering solutions for that new kind of changing face of work.
That's amazing. And again, the changing nature of the office still important, but you know, as it changes, you know, how can people tackle that? And I think that's where an offering like you've developed comes in. So we've got this very clear need. And this change, this shift that is created an amplified need for a different way of approaching this. We have the tech platform that you talked about. In putting all of this together, as you considered how to take this to market, how to tell that story, what aspects were most important?
You know, a couple things. And a lot of it comes down to, I guess we'll talk about like the surround sound look, feel, experience, right? So we mentioned several different pieces of the business that all come together. And when you're a potential client first browsing the site to when you first submit your information, you're talking to a member of our BDR team, to when you're handed off to a broker walking around town, you know, throughout that whole process, you have a square foot mobile app in your hand. If you ultimately wind up in one of our Flex products, you know, how does the interaction that you as a client, you as a tenant have with Square Foot? And how do we make sure there's a consistency of kind of experience, a consistency of messaging, a consistency of feeling throughout that feels very smooth and natural? And you want, this is everything from like the words that you say on site to the words that you say throughout that process. To make it sound very, whatever the opposite disjoint is, I guess just very jointed, right? So that you have this kind of full superlative experience that you can't get elsewhere. And that, you know, the goal is, and we're working on it, I'd be lying if I said we were perfect at it. When you do a deal with us tomorrow and you're out with friends on Tuesday next week and you say, you know, I just worked with Square Foot, we want that to conjure up something very positive in your mind's eye And over time, that brand promise to be something that is able to be kind of shared through that conversation with your friend next week. So when he needs office space the following week, he's coming to us extremely excited about what that can entail for him.
You know, you talk about consistency of message and the words and the language used, and I think that that can be a real challenge for startup brands who understand, who are so close to this challenge that they're tackling, and then looking at that, you know, how did describing the problem that you could see, what was key in developing that aspect of the story in describing what you do to the market to help them understand that there was an answer to this question?
You know, full disclosure, it's actually hiring people a lot better than me to do the things that I can't do, right? A lot of the words that I've been sharing with you are not words that I came up with myself, right? I was instrumental in coming up with the business idea, instrumental with launching a bunch of these service lines and coming up with them. But as it relates to, some of the language that we use, that's not coming from me. I'm a real estate guy. I'm not a brand guy. I'm not a marketer. And I'm a real estate guy, and I'm now a CEO of a company. And one of the things that I've had to get good at, and hopefully still will become better at, is kind of how do I and we build the team together here to be able to compensate for the things that I'm not going to be great at, because that list is going to be a lot longer than the list of things I am great at. It's a long way of coming back to branding and marketing, which is, you know, we've worked with, we have an in-house team who's fantastic, with a bunch of different disciplines in-house. Periodically we pick our head up and work with a firm every now and then to get some external blood, external ideas into it. And it's really been an evolving thing, especially from a messaging standpoint. You know, if we think back, I'll give you a sense of it. Like when I was first coming up with it myself, our little catchphrase was something like, your first and last step in finding office space. I'm like, okay, fine. Good enough for like first draft, good enough for what I can do in my pajamas late at night. To be clear, right, branding is quite literally like the messaging you use, the mark you use, and everything else. When we had that as a catchphrase, I think we can probably dig up the logo if you want. The logo was, you know, the words, the square foot written out. We used to have the in the title as well. And in the two O's, a foot were kind of actual like feet walking if you squinted at it, which, you know, was kind of cute, but not the most professional. So if you look from where we started, when it was me having to come up with it and with the logo that had the feet in it, to where we are and that catchphrase I just shared, to where we have now, which is a very slick, modern looking logo, and kind of all of the brand promise that comes with that, along with a catchphrase like you read earlier in the podcast, right, which talks about how we help our clients win. And kind of really subtle cues, so we win your next space in the space after that, which shows that we're here for the long, long haul with you. So a bunch of these really subtle cues throughout everything that we're putting out to the market that help build all that. And none of that second stuff that I come up with. If I'm lucky, I get invited to the meeting when they're telling us what we're doing with it.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the seven dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics, at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned the among all the touch points, the brand name, because I think that when I first learned about your company and your work, I thought, you know, it's, you've got one of those brand names that is, it just seems like a knock it out of the park brand name. I can see, when you mentioned before, with a previous logo with feet in it, I could see people thinking the other kind of, that it might have something to do with actual feet, or shoes or something on that front. But square foot, it, just being a part of, I think there's such power when you can use the language of the sector of the customer that you're serving. And when it comes to what everyone's looking for, you said it yourself earlier that the nature of the office is changing. But what's not in looking for that, and those that are proactively looking for that, are looking for some configuration of the square foot. So how did that just appear, or was that a lot of different steps?
Building a company, especially a startup, especially one in an industry that's not terribly used to change, like commercial real estate, it has to be iterative, right? You have to launch something, whether that's a product or a service line or a logo or messaging, and then it's kind of scary when you launch it because it's now out in the wild for the first time and you're not sure if it's going to sink or swim. And then with each of those things, each of those times you launch, you keep learning more about it. You keep getting feedback from the market about what's working and what's not working. And it's an extremely iterative and kind of, step-by-step-by-step process there. It's not something that we, like from a brand perspective, we don't want to be changing the logo every month, every 6 months. But you do want to be picking your head up every now and again and saying, okay, you know, is this logo still representative of what we're trying to bring to the market? Kind of the experience that we want to be transmitting to our clients, kind of the feeling that we want evoked when they see it. But I would be lying if I believed that the logo we have today or the catchphrase we use today is going to be the one that we retire with in 20 years, because brands and companies evolve. You know, we were just talking a minute ago, right, about how we just, you know, earlier this year we bought Pivot Desk. 6 months ago we launched Flex. That was reacting to market trends that we were hearing and seeing. I'm not smart enough. My crystal ball is not good enough to know what those market trends that we'll be reacting to in 5 or 10 years are going to be. But you'll want the brand and the experience that comes with working with Square Foot and the products and services that we're offering to be consistently evolving over time to react to that.
Well, and you talk about reacting. And one thing that I think is really interesting is that you talk about helping companies win, finding their next and next office. And I think the challenge in, you talk about changing industries that aren't always the quickest to change, commercial real estate. And a lot of times when we talk about building brands, connecting with customers and building relationships in something like that traditionally fits in the realm of real estate, that's a little tricky because you're not in that hunt, in that transactional mode that seems to drive that industry. So how do you continue to build that brand, to build that relationship over time?
Yeah, it's one of the things that we're now starting to spend a bunch of time with, which is, we're super bullish on this whole flexible space part of the market. It's still a vast minority, very small percentage of the market is flexible. We see that growing over time, but we're still doing 10 and 15 year leases. You know, we just did a deal for a 100-year-old wine distributor company for their headquarters for 15,000 square feet. And they wanted a 15-year deal. So that's a company that, kind of, if we're lucky, 14 years from now, we'll be able to do another transaction with, right? So the really kind of fun challenge for us is how do we stay, you know, we don't need to stay top of mind with them, but how do we maintain that client interaction throughout, right? And because first off, you know, to be kind of transactional about it, maybe their cousin needs office space next year. But more importantly, you know, I know they had a great experience working with us, and how do we, continue, being able to evoke those nice feelings about us to them? Not too dissimilar, surely they're not as frequent purchases, but they're more frequent than office space, but you know, everybody has a very good conception of what different brand promises are for cars.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if that's a 3-year purchase or 10-year purchase. I've been in New York for 10 years, so I know I haven't had a car for more than 10 years. But that's something where, like, if I said 4 different car makes to you, you would tell me exactly what you thought about those, right? Now, granted, that's a mass market thing. Everybody has a car. Everybody's mom, sister has a car. So even if it's a relatively less frequent purchase, but it's something that people are always talking about, so it makes sense to have these massive brand campaigns for them. That will never make sense for us. But what we are starting to think about is, you know, 15 years being the outlier, but even for a 5-year person who signs a lease with us, through us, you know, what are the touch points that we can have, as we call it, kind of between the leases, that keep us and them in communication, but not for the sake of just touching base, but for the sake of continuing to build that brand relationship between us and them. And that we haven't solved that yet, right? We just started thinking about it. But it creates a really, like, kind of fun problem to try and solve, because even though they're not interacting with us on a day-to-day basis, you know, we're involved at the lease signing, and then when you need to do another lease, you're walking to that office every day. Your entire company's walking that office every day, which leaves you actually a ton of white space to play in.
Yeah.
And now we get to start playing that white space and figuring out the right package there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what does, I mean, because you've led them somewhere that hopefully is exceeding their needs, and that is a potential imprint for the brand too. So there's all kinds of potential there.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, for a lot of companies, they have clients or partners or other people in and out of their space, and people say, "Oh, this is amazing space. You know, how did you get it? How did that process work? You know, how did you get this furniture? Maybe that's something interesting for us to be playing with over time." And there, you want them to say, "Oh, square foot, it's amazing," comma, and then there's a sentence you want your clients to be able to say. And the fun thing is, we get to figure out what we want that sentence to say. And then how do you, you'll never be able to, like, program your client to say that. But the same way, if I asked you, you know, what you thought about a Mercedes car or a Toyota car, you would have a sentence to describe that to your friends. We want our clients to be able to say that for us.
Yeah, I mean, because on the automotive sector is an interesting parallel, because, yeah, you're not buying them. Again, it's all about the touch points between leases there as well. But in the meantime, in the interim, it means something that to me, to my personality, that I'm, you know, an Audi driver, a Volvo driver. It says something about who I am, and it makes it part of my personality. So there's some of that potential there maybe as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's super exciting, super challenging to try and solve that. But I think there's a lot of fun to be had there.
Like you said, I like the idea of viewing that challenge, that opportunity to solve as white space, because you know, I teach on communication, and I talk about the value of white space all the time in the literal sense. But mm-hmm. I think I've never exactly thought of it from a brand standpoint of brands having potential white space that they can leverage as well. So that's, I think that's a good point to get people thinking on. And as we get people thinking, as we start to wrap up here, Jonathan, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
I don't know, I'm a pretty big fan these days of this company called Porter Road. They, it's like an online butcher. That's probably not how they would describe it, so I apologize. But well, first off, like, the meat is fantastic, and I've been ordering that for a bunch of months now, especially over the summer here. The meat's kind of the best around. But, you know, I follow them on Instagram. I guess I first heard about them last winter, and I started following them on Instagram. And winter is not really peak grilling season, and then kind of grilling season came around, and I started ordering. But because of how, and I'm not a huge Instagram guy, to be clear, But because of the content they were putting out on Instagram, I kind of kept following them, and then they were top of mind when it came to grilling time. And then I ordered, and the meat was great, and the experience is great, and they send it to you, and you know, biodegradable, like the stuff that keeps it cold is all biodegradable, so like really kind of environmentally friendly. And when you follow their Instagram, or you look at their website, you just see these like beautiful pictures of both like before and after, right? And like the kind of before and after you want. It's not like a fat guy who then loses 50 pounds and you don't want to see the before or the after. It's beautiful steak before, which looks really nice and marbled and all those nice color, all those nice words you'd want to use. And then after, it's a well-prepared steak. So I think they're doing a great job with their brand and their messaging. And look, the fact that when you ask me what brand I think of, that's one of the first ones, means they're doing something right.
Like that. That's a good test. Every now and then I ask that question, and I've come to the habit of warning people, because a lot of times I ask that and I get, ooh, and it's like, if it's not popping in your head right away, like you said, that question should trigger something. And I love learning about these, because I've not heard of Porter Road myself, but we'll be sure to link up to that and in our show notes. Speaking of where to link things up to, Jonathan, where can we go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Best place to see all that would be squarefoot.com. It's also a good place to find, transact, and occupy real estate. So squarefoot.com, and our friends, I guess they're our own too, but at Pivot Desk, are the two companies that we run here, having a lot of fun, and you can see all the stuff I've been talking about there. Feel free to reach out too on LinkedIn or anywhere else.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Jonathan, thanks for being on Brand with us.
Thanks again.
And as a reminder, you can find all of those show notes and more at onbrandpodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more on me, including how you can sign up for my fortnightly email newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week, I am Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.